All right, parents, remember that the kids that are with us have their own children's outline. I'm going to do my best to try and cover all those things on that outline. I know Dana sent you out an email and says you as parents are supposed to be paying attention so you can help them as they go through that outline. And we're very much in trouble if my daughter asks questions and I can't come up with the answers. Then we know something's wrong. All right, in your outline, let's get into right number one, the glory of God. The glory of God. Moses had a very unique privilege. Look at Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. It says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend." Moses used to speak to the Lord face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. He talked with God. Now, physically, he wasn't seeing God, but he was hearing God. He talked to God face to face. And in the course of that conversation, because that happened more than once, but in the course of that conversation, he made a daring request. Still in Exodus 33, look at verse 18. Moses said, "I pray you, show me your glory. Let me see your glory." And then God's reply reveals one of the most sacred scenes about the mysteries of God. Look at verses 19 through 23. "And he," God said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live.' And the Lord said, 'Behold, there's a place by me, and you will stand there on the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." One description of God in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, it says, God is a consuming fire. You know, today, especially in our culture, in our day, we like to make a lot about the grace of God and the mercy of God, and we need to. And I am thankful for God's grace and mercy that he shows us every single day. But we have to be very careful not to minimize the fact that God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. As it says in Hebrews, he is a consuming fire. And it's no wonder that Moses could not see his fullness. Now, in Exodus, go over to chapter 40 real quick. I want you to notice something. As God gave Moses the instructions for having the tabernacle built, and we've talked about the fact that he used skilled craftsmen, and he gave them specific skills so that they could make the different articles that were involved. But in Exodus chapter 40, verse 17 says, "Now it came about in the first month, the second year, and the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle and laid its sockets and set up its boards. He spread the tent," verse 19. "He took the testimony and put it into the ark. He brought the ark into the tabernacle." Verse 22, "He put the table in the tent of meeting." So Moses is there as everything's being placed, as all the articles are being put where they're supposed to be. He is involved in that whole process. He's seeing every aspect of it. But notice something once you get down to verse 35. Start in verse 34. "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Moses was involved in every aspect, did exactly as God told him. Then as everything's in place, the tabernacle's done, the glory of the Lord comes. Moses can't even go in anymore because of God's presence there. And he's not a priest. So think about that. God gave Moses that privilege to talk to him face to face, but it even got to the point where he couldn't go in. So it's no wonder that when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, he said, "Don't come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Remember when Moses was up on Mount Sinai, and again he met with God. And in Exodus 34, look at verses 29 and 30. It came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain. Moses didn't know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. When the cloud was there, talking about the covering of the cloud, when the cloud was there, God was there. After the tabernacle is built, the cloud comes, the presence of God. When the cloud was there, God was there. Very early, and you don't need to turn there in this passage, but very early in this study, we looked at a verse in Revelation chapter 2, in verse 1 it says, "The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this." That verse tells us that Jesus walks among the seven golden lampstands, which we saw in that passage is referring to the seven churches in Revelation that are listed there. Jesus walks among the churches. There's a world of difference when you go into a church and you know the presence of God is there. On Friday, we had a friend of ours from Deckerville stop by the house for lunch and spent a couple hours with us. And I was out back grilling and talking with Bob, and he's moving to Tennessee, and I was talking to him about the churches and different things, and he said, "Yeah, we visited this church, and it was a really nice church, and people were very friendly, but just something wasn't quite there." He said, then the next Sunday, we went to this other church, and he said, "You could just tell God was there. You know, there's something about that church." You know, and that's the way we are to be in our lives, is because we're walking with God, we're living to bring him honor and glory. People can tell in our lives, God is there. It's a reality for us as believers. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But a lot of times people can't tell that. Vance Havner said this, We are too often more conscious of the absence of the people than of this presence of the Lord. You know, there is a glow on the faces of those who are brought into God's presence. It's real. They're different. And just like Moses, he wasn't aware of it. He didn't relish on it. He didn't even know it. When we are walking with God, when God is that all-consuming fire in our lives, when we are listening to the Holy Spirit's leading, there's a difference in our lives. And it's a difference that people see. It's a difference that people notice. You know, if you talk to, we've been privileged in years of ministry to have different evangelists and special speakers stay in our home. And if you talk to those who travel around and go to a lot of different churches, they will tell you that there is a huge difference when you stand in front of a congregation and their faces are just glowing with the joy of the Lord. There's something different about them. And so he knows he's preaching to a group of people whose hearts are open. And so he doesn't have to break through that hard heart, because that face shows so much. You know, that fallen countenance often reveals a heart that's broken, that's hurting, that's closed and hard. And so that person often feels that the preacher, the evangelist, whoever is preaching at them, rather than for them. When Cain sinned, it says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, his countenance fell. There is no greater joy than to stand up and proclaim God's truth to a group of people whose faces show that they're walking with God, who shows they have that relationship with God, and God's glory is evident on their faces. God's glory is evident on the faces of those who are meeting with God, and that's desperately needed today. You know, where's God's glory in the average church today? Where are the glowing faces? Where is the joy being demonstrated and seen? Where can you tell you're standing on holy ground? I praise God around this world. He is raising up churches. He's raising up pastors who are sick of the dryness. They're sick of the deadness. And they want to get real with God. And they want to live a life to bring him honor and glory. You've heard me proclaim from this pulpit time after time after time the importance of being in the Word of God. Because when I'm in the Word of God, I am able to see the glory of God. Able to comprehend that. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 18 says this. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. As I'm in the Word of God, as I am beholding the glory of God, and my heart's open and bare, it says we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. As we behold the glory of God, we are changed. And Jesus Christ is exalted, and we're to proclaim that in our lives. We're to proclaim that from the pulpit. We are to walk with God. Do you meet with God, and does God's presence evident in your life? Do people see a difference? Do they know something's happening because that person's just not like everybody else? That's where we're to be as believers, because of the glory of God. Number two, think about the goodness of God. The goodness of God. In Exodus 13, look at verse 22. Exodus 13, verse 22. It talks about the goodness of God. It says, He didn't take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He didn't take away. He was with them. Remember, the cloud. If the cloud was there, God was there. And that cloud did several things. First, it assured them of His presence, that if the cloud was there, God was there. So when they saw the cloud, they knew God is with us. It also guided them, and we'll talk about that in our next point, but it also protected them. That cloud provided protection. We'll talk about a couple of those verses here in just a minute. Now, when they came to the Red Sea, what happened? The Israelites were terrified because they know the Egyptians are breathing down their necks. They've got nowhere to go. You know, what in the world is going to happen to us? Look at Exodus chapter 14 and verse 20. And we see this protection, this goodness of God. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 20, so the cloud came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other at night. So that cloud protected Israel from the Egyptians at the rear. It provided light for them so they could go through the Red Sea. You know, how good is God? He still protects His people today. Now there seems to be another purpose of the cloud. Turn with me quickly to Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4. And look at verses 5 and 6. It says, then the Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory will be a canopy. There will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day, and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. You know, anyone who has been to Egypt in that section between there and the Promised Land can tell you that that wilderness, as it's referred to in the Word of God, that desert, the sun's rays are blaring, and it is hot. And yet, through this cloud, God provided a canopy. God provided protection. He provided shade. And then at night, when it gets cool in the desert, He provided, through that fire, He provided heat for them. God thinks of everything. Their clothes never wore out. You know, I kind of wonder something. No, I'm not going to go down that road. You know, people like to go shopping. I wonder if they got tired of the fact that the clothes just never wore out. You know, and so God provided their clothes. Their sandals didn't wear out. God provided manna. You know, He provided food for them. And He was with them all the time. When the cloud was there, God was there. And yet, through all of that, Israel still murmured and complained. The admonition is given to us in Hebrews chapter 13, in verses 15 and 16. Excuse me, 5 and 6. Make sure your character is free from the love of money. being content with what you have. For he himself has said, and now he's quoting the Old Testament, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? God has provided us so much, and yet how often are we not content? How often am I? And I struggle with being content. I struggle with wanting more. You know, and that's the admonition. We're just like the Israelites so many times. God is faithful, and God is good, and God provides, and yet we still complain. And we still aren't content, and we aren't happy. Let's think about number three, the guidance of God. The guidance of God. God guided his people by simply moving the cloud when he wanted them to move, and then stopping the cloud when it was time for them to stop and set up camp and put everything in place again. You know, God's guidance is so simple and yet so profound. Turn over to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, and look at the last three verses of this book, verses 36 through 38. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel. The children of Israel lived in tents. They were pilgrims who wandered in the wilderness for over 40 years. You know, the promised land lay ahead, and they lived in a foreign and unknown land. Only God knew the timing. Only God knew the direction. Only God knew when everything was going to work out. And in his guidance and in his goodness, he guided them day by day, step by step. When he was ready for them to move, then he would move the cloud of smoke in the daytime or that pillar of fire by night, and he would move it in the direction he wanted them to go. Now, earlier on in the series, I had some different ones ask me, you know, how long were they there? And we don't know exactly, but there is one verse that gives us some insight into that. In Numbers chapter 9 and verse 22, Numbers chapter 9 verse 22 says this, whether it was 2 days or a month, or a year that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, staying above it, the sons of Israel remained camped and did not set out, but when it was lifted, they did set out. Whether it was 2 days, or a month, or a year. So sometimes, according to that verse, sometimes they only stayed 2 days in a place. Sometimes they would stay a month. Maybe they would stay up to a year. You know, that's the only guidelines we're given as to how long they were in those places. We would love to be able to go out to the mailbox every Monday and get a letter from God saying, all right, on Monday, this is exactly what you are to do, and this is exactly what you are to say. This is exactly where you are to go. And on Tuesday, give me the same instructions. No, we wouldn't. Because that would just give us more reason to violate God's law. You know, how many of your children listen to everything you say and do the things exactly in the right order and the right details? We are exactly the same. We say, oh, I wish God would give me this very clear direction. I wish God wants to give us that direction. He wants to give us that guidance just as deliberately and definitely as he gave it to the Israelites when he would move that cloud. But he does that through the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who leads us today. You know, we've talked about that a few weeks ago when we talked about the lampstand. We talked about the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. We're starting to talk about that on Sunday nights as we're studying the Holy Spirit some more. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I think that's why so many of us struggle from day to day. Oh, God, give me direction. God's given us direction, but we're not walking with him. We're not paying attention to him. We're not listening to the Holy Spirit's leading. We're just simply doing things on our own, in our own strength, in our own way. And we wonder, God, where are you? God's saying, I'm right here. Where did you go? Well, God is leading us through the Holy Spirit, but so many... we fill our lives with so many things, and we listen to ourselves more than we listen to God. And we struggle, and we make bad choices, and we do wrong things, and because of that, we have the consequences of sin. You know, and we struggle just like the Israelites did, because a lot of times they tried to do things on their own. There is no jealousy in the Trinity, but each person of the Godhead has a distinct role to play in our lives. When you are witnessing to your unsaved neighbor or coworker, you don't go up to them and let me tell you everything about the Holy Spirit. You don't do that because that's just theologically correct. You go up and you tell them about Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is the one who died on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins. But when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, we better start to pay attention to the Holy Spirit because He is the one who leads us. He is the one who directs our steps and helps us. He is the one who goes before us. And to ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit is one of the reasons we're so frustrated. It's one of the reasons that we're missing blessings and opportunities that God has for us. We need to consciously look to and depend on the Holy Spirit to lead us. And when we are listening to the Holy Spirit's leading, we are going to see joys from God that He has prepared for us and planned for us that we missed before. And we're going to have the blessings and just know I am where God wants me to be. You know what? It may not be your first choice. You know, if we listen to God, it's not always, He's not always going to lead the direction we want to go. But there is no better way than to go God's way. I want to share a testimony with you. Years ago, I think it was 1980, I believe. I could be wrong with the date, Joe. 1980 when Factoryville burned. Joe wants to say 81. I think I'm right. We'll see. 80 or 81, our home church, Factoryville Bible Church, burned. An arsonist lit the church on fire and basically burned to the ground. And after they rebuilt the church, we had a week of dedication meetings. And we were privileged because my dad was chairman of the board. We had a lot of special speakers and different ones stay at our house during that week. And one of the gentlemen who stayed at our house was a man by the name of C. Sumner Wemp. And C. Sumner Wemp was a pastor for many years. He was associated with many colleges. He was a Bible teacher at Liberty University. He died at the age, in 2012, at the age of 90, Sumner Wemp passed away. Basically, up until his death, he was still preaching about 80 times a year. And Sumner Wemp just had a passion to see people come to Christ. And it was, I remember I was 13, 14 at that time, and just listening to his stories of his passion for sharing Christ and evangelizing the lost. And I came across this testimony in one of his books. He writes this, "One night my wife and I set out to visit for the Lord. Earlier I had felt a deep burden to see someone come to Christ that night. We prayed aloud before we left, asking the Holy Spirit to lead us and to have someone respond. As we're driving toward the first address on our list, I felt an urge to stop for a minute to encourage a man from our church who was having some problems. A couple of weeks before, I had taken my travel trailer to his service station to get the electric brake fixed, but he wasn't able to fix it. That night as we were talking, he asked if I had gotten it fixed. I told him two brothers had just opened a station near me and they had fixed the brake. Just like a flash, he asked what their names were. And I told him one of the names and he blurted out, 'I know him. He lives half a block from here and I've witnessed to these two brothers and I've been concerned about them. I even asked one of my classes to pray for them.' When he said that, I felt a strong urge to go by there. We got the address and we went to the door. Chuck's wife, Barbara, came to the door. We introduced ourselves and asked if Chuck was there. He wasn't. He was still at work. But she said, 'Please come in.' We sat down and we began to tell her the great gospel story about the Lord Jesus. As I told how Christ suffered for our sins, she began to cry. I said, 'God has been dealing with you, hasn't he?' She nodded her head yes, and I finished telling her about how she could know and receive the Lord Jesus Christ personally. She bowed her head and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of her life. When we finished praying, the joy of the Lord beamed from her face. We stayed and visited for about an hour longer, and we gave her some more instructions from the Word of God. As we got up to leave, she made this startling statement, 'I knew you were coming tonight.' Surprised, I looked at her and I said, "Ma'am, what do you mean you knew we were coming? You didn't know I existed, and I certainly didn't know you existed, and we didn't plan to come here." And I showed her the list of the names of people we planned to visit. She said, "I know all that, but I've been miserable, and I have prayed all day that God would send someone tonight to tell me how to be saved." My wife and I wept, for we felt we were on holy ground. What if we had not been in fellowship with the Lord and had not let the Holy Spirit lead us? We would have missed one of the most thrilling moments of our lives. Yes, God does lead his dear children along today. You know, there is a grave danger in moving when God doesn't lead and in not moving when he does. How many times has God placed someone on our heart and we've done absolutely nothing about it? How many times has God just urged you to go here or go there and you've done nothing about it? And you've not listened to the Holy Spirit. How many times in the middle of the night have you woken up with somebody's name on your mind? And rather than spend some time right there in prayer, you just simply turn over and go back to bed. The Holy Spirit's leading. A lot of times we're just not listening. We get like the children of Israel. Turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Children of Israel spied out the promised land in Numbers 13. And they didn't believe God, who said, "I'm going to give you that land." They said, "No, there's giants there. You know, there's no way we can stand against them." And because of that, God said they were not going to enter the promised land. They're going to wander for 40 years. Now, presumptuously, the people came to Moses, and they said this in Numbers chapter 14, look at verse 40. "In the morning, however, they rose up early and went up to the ridge of the hill country, saying, 'Here we are. We have indeed sinned, but we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised.' Yeah, we know we've blown it, but we're going to go anyway." And Moses tells them in verse 42, "Do not go up, or you will be struck down before your enemies, for the Lord is not among you." Then in verses 44 and 45, "But they went up heedlessly to the ridge of the hill country. Neither the ark of the covenant of the Lord nor Moses left the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and struck them and beat them down as far as Hormah." What a sad day it was for them. You know, the cloud didn't move. God didn't say it's time to move. The ark didn't move. Moses didn't move. But they went on, and they were defeated. They went ahead of God. How many times do we get ahead of God, and we wonder why it feels like we're banging our heads against a brick wall? God, why aren't you blessing me? Why aren't you taking care of me? That's just because I'm right here waiting for you to come back where I'm at. I'm waiting for you to listen to me. I'm waiting for you to walk with me, to be in my will. God's glory and God's goodness and God's guidance are promised to us as believers today. But we have to listen and pay attention. We have to be in the Word of God, seeing the glory of God, letting him lead us and instruct us. And as the Holy Spirit leads and prompts in our lives, pay attention and be obedient. Don't stay when he says it's time to go, and don't go when he says it's time to stay. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to see the glory of God and trust him. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that you love us and you guide us and direct us and you lead us. And Father, just like the Israelites that you led, you lead us. And yet so many times we don't pay attention. So many times we walk ahead of you or we lag behind you and we wonder why things aren't working out for us. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to see you, to walk closely with you, and to pay attention. Lord, help us to be obedient and not forfeit those blessings. Simply help us to trust you. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord and Savior.